You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Another world. Another time. In the age of wonder.
There was once a dream. You could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm gonna have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast. The podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith and trust.
Well, if it isn't the Star-Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland!
Hello, Neverlanders. It is time to take your pixie out of your pocket. I am Lost Boy Eric, and I am this week filling in for our Spider-Pan Jeremy, who unfortunately has succumbed to an allergy issue this week. Yes, that even affects us here in Neverland. But I'll tell you, it has been a fantastic week filled with some great news from the world of Marvel, from the world of Disney, and from the world of Star Wars. So take your pixies out of your pocket. We've got a great show ahead.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
To begin with, BB-8 has now come to Disney Hollywood Studios at Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida. This is a meet and greet opportunity. There have been, currently we've been able to meet with Kylo Ren and Chewbacca at Star Wars Launch Bay. And, you know, those characters are also available at Disneyland. But BB-8, as of right now, is exclusive to Walt Disney World. Guests have the opportunity to meet and take pictures with BB-8. Unfortunately, there's no opportunity for a signature. It's not clear at this time if BB-8 is available throughout the day at Star Wars Launch Bay, or if this is exclusive to Galactic Nights, which is a Star Wars celebration certain nights of the week at Disney Hollywood Studios. However, it's a great opportunity to get a picture with BB-8, to interact with him a little bit, and to really have that opportunity to get to know our Star Wars stars a little bit better. Also in the news this week was the 25th anniversary of Disneyland Paris. Officially, Disneyland Paris opened their gates on April 12th, 1992. And to celebrate, they prepared some great activities. Namely, they had a grand celebration kickoff, which had a huge cast of characters coming out of the castle and greeting the guests. You know, there were a lot of characters that we just never see anymore in the parks, like Roger Rabbit, Jessica Rabbit. There was Ben from Treasure Planet. I can't even remember. There were so many different characters that were coming out. It was a wonderful opportunity to see a lot of these characters that we just don't see. And even after the characters came out, the cast members for the resort also got to come out, and they were celebrated as well. Now, they also had entertainment and attractions specially created for the 25th anniversary celebration. They have two new stage shows in front of Sleeping Beauty Castle, which is Mickey Presents Happy Anniversary Disneyland Paris, as well as the Starlit Princess Waltz. They've recently reimagined Star Tours to match what we have in Florida and California with The Adventures Continue. And they also have a new stunning nighttime finale, Disney Illuminations, which features the state-of-the-art projection technology that has been in wide use in both California and Florida. Now, the night before Star Wars Celebration began, Entertainment Weekly released really the first big news story affecting Star Wars Celebration. That is Forces of Destiny. They gave us a first look at some new animated shorts that are going to be coming out, detailing the female heroes within the galaxy. There are going to be 8 new 2D animated shorts debuting on Disney's YouTube channel in July. And then these 8 shorts are going to be packaged with an additional 8 later in the fall for specials that are going to be airing on the Disney Channel. Now, they'll be full of familiar characters and creatures. The central figures are going to be Princess Leia, Padme Amidala, Rey, Jyn Erso, and then from Rebels, we're going to also have visits from Sabine Wren, Ahsoka Tano, as well as Hera Syndulla. Now, they do say that in some cases, multiple heroines are going to appear in adventures with each other, even though some of them have been separated by different timelines. However, this is all going to be official canon. Now, Carrie Beck, an executive producer, says one of the opportunities here was to tell the stories in between the larger moments and imagine some of the ways our characters have crossed. It's all part of the larger swath of storytelling. Now, each of the Forces of Destiny shorts are going to be about 3 minutes long. They were penned by Jennifer Murrow, who is known for work on DC's Justice League Action, which is a current update of the old animated Justice League series. And she's also helmed episodes of Rebels. Now, Dave Filoni is also helping to create these new storylines. Many of the original actresses are going to be voicing their characters. We'll have Daisy Ridley playing Rey. The Rey stories in particular are actually going to be set within The Force Awakens, so we're not going to have any flash forwards to what's happening in The Last Jedi or Episode 9, and certainly there aren't going to be any flashbacks to give us any more information about her past. And Felicity Jones is also coming back for Jyn Erso, and her stories, of course, are going to occur before the climax of Rogue One. Now, Sabine Wren and Ahsoka Tano are certainly going to be providing the voices as well for their characters, as well as Vanessa Marshall, who is Hera in Rebels. While Carrie Fisher is gone, Princess Leia is going to be voiced by Shelby Young, and Natalie Portman's not going to be involved, but Padme's voice will be played by Catherine Tabor, who also portrayed Padme in The Clone Wars. One other towering female presence from Star Wars that's going to be playing a part in the shorts is Maz Kanata. Lupita Nyong'o will be narrating the shorts as the little orange alien sage. Now, we do know a few of the plot points. One Forces of Destiny story involves Rey battling the thieving Jakku scavenger Tito to protect BB-8 while they're on their way to Nima Outpost before she meets Finn. And then another is going to involve a battle with a Night Watcher worm, a creature with glowing eyes who was seen only briefly in The Force Awakens, lifting its head out of the sand. I honestly don't remember seeing that character. Now, another short is going to be taking place on board the Millennium Falcon, with Han, Chewbacca, and Finn, as Rey tries to disarm an explosive tracking device that was hidden aboard by Unkar Plutt. Now, Princess Leia's short is going to take place just before the Battle of Hoth. The Rebel stories are going to involve Chopper in the Yavin 4 Rebel base. Also, one that's going to be really intriguing is a story set on Endor. And I'm not going to get into any details here, but it looks like there's going to be a great mix-up and mash-up between some of these different characters. One of the biggest complaints following The Force Awakens was that there wasn't much merchandise centered around Rey. And one of the things that Forces of Destiny is going to do is they are bringing out a toy line as well, comprised of, well, think of kind of a mix-up between traditional dolls and action figures, and that's what this toy series is going to be creating. Some very doll-like action figures. It's definitely going to be interesting to see how this all plays out and how it all works, but I know I'm really looking forward to seeing what these stories are going to be adding, and hey, they're all official canon, so this is going to be information that is going to be part of the new universe going forth. Really looking forward to it. Again, we don't have much information as to when these are going to premiere on YouTube, but we'll certainly let you know once we know. Now, coming direct to us from Star Wars Celebration is Star Wars Battlefront 2 Inferno Squad. Now this is going to be the next chapter in the Battlefront series, and it's going to be released on November 17th, 2017. And the story campaign of this is going to be considered Star Wars canon. Now, during the presentation, it was labeled that this is the most ambitious thing that EA has ever embarked upon. The creators wanted to tell a story from the Empire's point of view. What does a stormtrooper feel when he or she looks up and sees the destruction of the Death Star at the end of Return of the Jedi? The single-player campaign, rather, will put you in the shoes of an Imperial Special Forces commander of Inferno Squad, Iden Versio. Now, the game takes place directly after the Return of the Jedi, and the creators express their gratitude that they have a huge time span for their story, since the next Star Wars canon story happens 30 years later. Now, you might recognize the name Inferno Squad. A few months ago, the official site announced a new novel with that same name. Now, the novel is said to be set shortly after the events of Rogue One, and it will focus on the perspective of a group of Imperial operatives as they go after the scattered partisans, formerly led by Saw Gerrera. Christy Golden, who previously worked on the novelization of the unproduced Dark Disciple episodes of The Clone Wars, is going to be the author of this book. Christy's also written a few other books within the new timeline as well. Now, some of the highlights is that there are going to be multiple new locations, including the Imperial world of Vardos. Now, the story follows Ideri's journey. She'll cross paths with several famous characters. In the story, you can play as Rey, Luke, Yoda, Darth Maul, as well as others. Now, all of the Star Wars eras will be available on multiplayer. There's going to be more weapons, more vehicles, and more characters. Now, EA is also introducing classes. You'll be able to unlock new abilities and improve and upgrade your characters and vehicles and ships. Well, there's going to be many possibilities within the story mode. We're going to be going to locations that haven't been seen before, and they will feel alive. Now, space battles are also going to be a significant part of the game, and the maps that they've announced so far include Yavin 4, Mos Eisley, and Starkiller Base. Now, while it's going to be released on November 17th, EA subscribers will be able to play the game on November 9th. And if you can pre-order Battlefront 2, you will get exclusive Last Jedi Kylo Ren and Rey-themed looks. So I'll tell you, this game looks phenomenal. I'll definitely, if it were style of game, I have an issue with the first-person type perspective games. But I know Jeremy has really liked Battlefront, and I know that there's going to be a lot of people really looking forward to this release.
Mama, now the gator got you in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that shovel. Come here.
Get him, Mama. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
We have had a couple of huge trailer releases this week. And well, I'll get to the biggest one in just a moment. First, we wanted to talk about Thor Ragnarok.
Now I know what you're thinking. How did this happen? Well, it's a long story.
Asgard is dead.
What have you brought today? Tell me.
A contender.
It's main event time.
Incredible! Yes!
We know each other. He's a friend from work.
Oh, come on.
Oh my goodness, I cannot believe how great this is looking. I mean, I haven't had reason to think Marvel has failed, but you know, certainly the Thor movies are not the highest ones on my list to watch. This trailer blew both of the previous movies out of the water. Oh my goodness, we see Thor in chains. We see the destruction of Mjolnir and Asgard by Hela. We see Thor being basically captured and forced to fight within this gladiatorial arena reigned over by the Grandmaster. We see Loki show up a couple of times. And really the greatest part of this trailer was that phrase, hey. We see the reveal of the Incredible Hulk. Hey, he's a friend from work. Oh my goodness. Like I said, I am looking forward to this. Now, of course, it's going to be starring Chris Hemsworth as Thor. We know that Tom Hiddleston as Loki is going to be in there. Cate Blanchett is playing Hela. And oh my goodness, they have got her down to a T based on this trailer. Another surprise was seeing Scourge on there. He's a character that was very prominent in the storyline that this is based on. Ragnarok, you know, they're battling people coming into Asgard with a pair of, you know, huge guns. We've got Mark Ruffalo as the Incredible Hulk, Bruce Banner. Bruce Banner, I hear, is not going to be making too much of an appearance. This is the Hulk. Oh my goodness. And of course we got Jeff Goldblum as the Grandmaster. Wow, this is incredible, and I cannot wait until Thor Ragnarok is released. Looking forward to that on November 3rd, coming up later this year. I know I'm excited. I know Jeremy is excited. This looks to be like a great film. Coming out of Star Wars Celebration, we also got a trailer for Season 4 of Star Wars Rebels.
It was a simple story about a boy who was lost and a girl who was broken. They fought alongside a survivor, a war veteran, and a fallen knight. I led them into battle against an evil so terrible it tried to black out the stars. We fought for each other. We fought for those who could not. But we never imagined it would end like this.
This is a time of difficult choices. Sometimes impossible ones.
As long as we're together, we've got a chance.
At least we'll go down fighting.
All paths are coming together now.
It's time to get to work.
We are the balance, Ezra. We were meant to be Jedi so we could be here now. When Lothal needs us most.
May the Force be with you.
Now, I've been following along with Star Wars Rebels since almost the beginning. I know Jeremy still needs to finish watching Season 2 and Season 3. Now, executive producer Dave Filoni let us know that this is going to be the last season of Rebels, and it looks like we're going to be seeing everything coming to a head with the Battle of Scarif that we saw in Rogue One. But there are some storylines and some plot lines to wrap up coming up within this season. You know, what's going to happen with the Mandalorian warriors? What is going to be the fate of our crew? Now, we do know from Rogue One that a couple of our characters have survived, at least up to that point, namely Harrison Dula and Chopper. But what's going to happen with Ezra? What's going to happen with our fallen Jedi Knight, Kanan Jarrus? What's going to happen with Sabine? Where's Zeb? You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Now, one of the interesting points that came out of these panels, it does appear that Captain Rex is going to survive through to Return of the Jedi. We know that there was an older-looking rebel warrior in there. Within the previous canon, he was known as Nick Sant. But Dave Filoni has all but confirmed that that character is Rex. So, again, it's going to be very exciting to see what happens with this season. It's going to be interesting to see if we get Ahsoka Tano back. During this panel, Dave Filoni was wearing a shirt that says, "Ahsoka lives?" with a question mark. After this trailer was shown, he had changed his t-shirt to one that says "Ahsoka lives" with an exclamation point, but he said nothing further. So again, I've become a big fan of Rebels. I'm sorry to see this series ending, but we do know that, you know, it's ending because there's something else that's coming along the horizon. We keep hearing rumors that the next animated series is going to be set sometime during the new trilogy. We also know that Forces of Destiny, which we talked about earlier, is not the replacement series. So we know that there's more coming, and certainly it's going to be a very emotional watch to see what happens to this small group of rebels as we approach the end of this season. But again, this was not the only trailer we got from Star Wars Celebration. My goodness, it is time for the Jedi to end. Wow, what has happened to Luke? He has been through, you know, he redeemed Darth Vader at the end of Return of the Jedi. We know that he started up a new Jedi Academy, and we know that Kylo Ren destroyed that. You know, Luke has been in exile for who knows how long, and he's ready for the Jedi to end. Wow, you know, we don't know if this is just a depression created by Kylo Ren's betrayal, or, you know, maybe it's the beginning of a gray balance of Jedi between the light and the dark. Now, while Luke may think it's time for the Jedi to end, it's apparent that, you know, he's training Rey. So, you know, this just raises more questions and gets me much more excited for this movie coming up. You know, we of course also got shots of Finn within some sort of a medical restoration bay. We saw Poe Dameron. We saw the explosion of a rebel or of a resistance base. We saw that shot of Captain Phasma coming through. Hopefully her character is going to be much better. The visuals, you know, we see these speeders coming down onto this snow-covered planet and skimming through the snow and kicking up red dust. We see space battles again. Oh my goodness. I cannot wait for The Last Jedi. I'll be talking about this a little bit later, but my goodness, this was fantastic. And again, I cannot wait until December. I know that Jeremy himself is also excited about this. You know, it is Star Wars. It is back. It is in full force. And wow, this is an amazing trailer. Now, like I said, it has been an amazing week for Star Wars news with Star Wars Celebration occurring in Orlando. Lots of information, lots of details. You know, there's no way that we're going to be able to cover everything. But I did want to talk a little bit about the Last Jedi panel as well as the 40th anniversary panel. Now, with the Last Jedi panel, not only did they just reveal that new trailer, but they also talked a little bit about some of the characters, about some of the story. We do know that The Last Jedi is still in post-production. It's still being edited, but director Rian Johnson says that we are still editing, but we're very far along. Kathleen Kennedy was particularly happy with what's been going on, and she really praised Johnson and said that he's on his way to standing alongside many of the great filmmakers that I've had the opportunity to work with. He has an amazing uniqueness to what he does, and certainly from the trailer, we can tell that this is a very different Star Wars story. You know, much in the vein of Empire Strikes Back, it does look like it's going to be dark. And of course, it's the second act of this new trilogy. So we know that it most likely is not going to end on a very happy note. Now, the legacy of Leia and Carrie Fisher is going to continue. Kathleen Kennedy said that Carrie is remarkable in the movie. The performance that she ends up giving is going to be an amazing tribute to her talent. And Johnson also said that he learned a lot from her. I connected first and foremost with her as a writer, and we did learn through Celebration that Carrie Fisher actually did some script doctoring to help it punch up and improve the story as well. We do get to see our first look at her in that trailer. It's a behind-the-scenes shot with sweatback hair and a flowing gray robe. So, you know, again, very interesting visual. We have yet to see what she's going to be doing in this movie, though. Now, also, Rey's story is definitely going to be advancing within The Last Jedi. She certainly was tight-lipped. One thing I do need to mention, this panel was hosted by Josh Gad. Now, if you've been watching any of the... or if you've seen anything on the internet lately about Star Wars, it may have been from Daisy Ridley's trailer on the set of... Now, there have been a series of really funny clips from Daisy's trailer on the set of Murder on the Orient Express, in which she's starring with Josh Gad and others, in which Josh Gad has been trying to get secrets out of her about the plot of The Last Jedi. Well, he actually hosted this panel, and and he kept up with the questions. Are you and Luke related by blood? Are you a Skywalker? Who doesn't know their own last name? Are you like the Madonna of Jakku? You know, but Rey does offer some details. We certainly go deeper into Rey's story, and Rey has a certain expectation of what she might get from Luke and what that might entail. As a lot of people know, it's difficult when you meet your heroes because it might not be what you expect. And certainly, I don't think we expected to hear Luke say anything about ending the Jedi. Now, BB-8 is also definitely in the movie. Rian Johnson actually said that BB-8 was the Buster Keaton of this movie. While it is going to be dark, it's still going to have comedic elements to it. And so definitely we're going to see a lot from BB-8, and I'm excited to see more of what this new droid has to offer. Now, Finn is in recovery, but he is going to be back. his friendship between Finn and Poe are going to continue. But really, there's a test for all of the characters. So Finn's going to have a lot of questions that he needs to face. We also know that things are not going great in the galaxy. While Starkiller Base was destroyed, the First Order still wiped out the heart of the Republic. And the playing field has really been leveled. The First Order is on the attack. They're going to be trying to, you know, cement their position as the new leadership within the galaxy. And Johnson says things are going to get dire. Now, the panel also introduced a new character to us. A resistance maintenance worker named Rose, who's going to be played by Kelly Marie Tran. Everything is so secretive about the movie, she did not even tell her own family she got the part until 4 months later. Within the panel, it says that she actually told her family that she was working on an independent movie in Canada, even though this was being filmed in the UK. And she even managed to find some maple syrup to give away as gifts. Now, Johnson is very excited about this character. He said that the notion that any of us can step and turn into a hero, that's really where the character of Rose comes from. Kelly just embodies that for me. Now, Mark Hamill also came on stage. He was the last actor to come on out. And he actually talked about the director, Rian Johnson, coming to his home where they talked about the movie. During this event, Hamill happened to share and have a special screening for the director, which happened to be his favorite episode of Sergeant Bilko. Now, Hamill was very honest with Johnson. He felt that the original characters had a beginning, a middle, and an end, and he didn't want to ruin that. In fact, he said, "I am terrified." And Johnson replied, "Well, so am I." And Mark Hamill said, "That is a director that I can love." Now, it certainly sounds that working with Johnson was rewarding. In this experience, Mark says, he's rocketed to the top of my all-time favorite directors list. I couldn't do it without him. I totally turned over my performance to Rian. I knew if he was satisfied, then we got it right. Sounds like he probably got better direction than faster and more intense. But man, what an amazing panel. You know, some really good news. And again, it's just really getting me and everyone else who saw it excited for what is next, what is on its way, and what's going to happen. Now, one of the true highlights from Star Wars Celebration was the 40 years of Star Wars panel. This actually was the kickoff to Star Wars Celebration on Thursday, and really was an opportunity to celebrate everything that's come within those past 40 years. Now, there were a lot of surprises with this as well. Now, the panel itself was hosted by Warwick Davis, who we all know began his career in Return of the Jedi as Wicket Warwick. He introduced the first guest on this panel, Kathleen Kennedy. She came out, she had fans, she mostly and began by thanking the fans for all that they've done. She says, "I'm sure like me, you can't quite believe that it's been 40 years. What I've experienced has really exceeded my wildest dreams. Your passion, your dedication, and your love of Star Wars, you have no idea how that inspires us every single day." And she then gave us the first surprise of the panel. "The greatest honor for me is to acknowledge the man whose collective genius has brought us all together today," at which point George Lucas came out. Oh my goodness. You know, George Lucas has, you know, within the past few years, kind of distanced himself a little bit from Star Wars, you know, but really, how else can you begin a panel like this without, you know, bringing him out and thanking him and acknowledging him for bringing this world to us? He reflected on the origins of Star Wars. He explained that it wasn't really simple. There was a moment, but it was just an idea. The idea was more. He wanted to make an action movie that was more like a Saturday matinee, but with mythological motifs. And he knew that this was really going to be a tough sell. THX-1138 wasn't really a hit. It has become a cult classic. And the studio really didn't like American Graffiti, which at that point hadn't been released. But it was Alan Ladd at an early screening who loved American Graffiti and wanted Lucas's next movie, whatever it was. And that next movie was Star Wars. You know, he also pointed out that this was a movie for 12-year-olds. He says, I'm not supposed to say this, but really it is a movie for the kids in us. It's about what we stand for. You know, and he phrased it in, you're about to enter the real world, and what you should pay attention to, friendships, honesty, and trust. Those are the things that it was meant to do. And obviously the real thrill is when I see the fans. Now, one of the neat things about this encounter with George Lucas, when Warwick Davis was cast as Wicket, he was only 11 years old. And following the production of Return of the Jedi, he actually sent a letter to George Lucas. It read, I hope you remember me. I helped you make the new Star Wars film last year. It's a really fun encounter. But the point of this letter was to ask for toys, specifically an Ewok and a Jabba the Hutt. While he played an Ewok, his favorite character from the new movie was Jabba. And he did get those toys, with him just absolutely beaming. Now, the next guest to come to the panel was Dave Filoni. Now, as we mentioned earlier, Dave Filoni has been the executive producer on Rebels. He was the executive producer and worked very closely with George Lucas on the Clone Wars. He was hired as a supervising director, and he shepherded the series. And he was something of a Padawan to Lucas as a Jedi Master. Filoni said, I'm really lucky. I would say that the most important lesson there is he would always tell me, don't be afraid. Because we know fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering, right? Now, it would have been easy to be overwhelmed working on Star Wars and not wanting to break it. However, George Lucas encouraged new ideas and new experiments, and they used actually a new program to make the Clone Wars with new kinds of stories and new characters. And he reiterated, make no decision out of fear. Now, TV was also rewarding for Lucas because it was an opportunity. It's an experimental cauldron because there's not much at stake. You can put out a lot of stories without all the financial risk of a movie, and the stories of the Clone Wars were more interesting and long form. We were trying very hard, and I think we succeeded to do a feature quality TV show. We were able to bring in great characters like Ahsoka that we would never have been able to have otherwise. Now, the next guest was actually not present. It was Liam Neeson, who sent a video message. He said that he was working in Canada on a new film, and he noted that it was a movie about Jar Jar going to the dark side. Well, I don't think that's entirely accurate, but, you know, that did get a nice large cheer from the audience. Now, the next guests to come to the stage were Ian McDiarmid and Hayden Christensen. Now, this is the first celebration that Christensen has come to Celebration since, oh, I believe 2005, since the release of Revenge of the Sith. Now, McDiarmid was asked what his favorite scene was, and he said that the opera scene where Palpatine really starts to tempt Anakin was his favorite. It initially was written in an office. And then he said, you know, I think we should go somewhere else for a change. Or Lucas rather said, we think we should go somewhere else. And that led to the opera setting, which afforded really a different kind of interplay. Rather than, you know, sitting across a desk talking to one another, you had that side conversation between the two. And, you know, he said, you know, from my point of view, we could have a really evil chat. Now, Christensen himself kind of shared his own little geek out moment. Now, we know that Ewan McGregor has said multiple times that they had shots that couldn't be used because during the lightsaber fight scenes, because he was going around making lightsaber sounds with his mouth. Apparently, Hayden Christensen had the same problem as well. George would come over to him and say, that looks really great, but I can see your mouth moving. You don't have to do that. We add in the sound effects afterwards. Now, McDiarmid had seen some of the rehearsals for the duel with Ewan McGregor at the end of Revenge of the Sith, and he was always impressed with what had happened. He said, you know, we should take the lightsabers and get on the road to show what brilliant fighters they were. The next guest was another video conference in from Mace Windu, Samuel L. Jackson. And for him, he said, it's a real honor and privilege being a part of the Star Wars community. Now, he also reminded us that we know that Jedi can fall from incredible heights and survive. I'm not dead. Mace Windu is awaiting his return. Let's make it happen. So, you know, who knows? Maybe we can have a Mace Windu movie coming up. Now, the next guests that came out to the panel were Anthony Daniels, Peter Mayhew, and Billy Dee Williams, respectively C-3PO, Chewbacca, and Lando Calrissian. Lucas said to Anthony Daniels about 3PO that the key to the construction was the face. The face had to be absolutely neutral so that Daniels could act, and the acting would come through, and it wouldn't be counter to what the face was doing. You know, once Daniels was in the suit, the character came alive. Now, of all the 3PO faces that could have been used, the one that was selected was the least favorite of Anthony Daniels. You know, Peter Mayhew had said that there's a lot of Chewie within him. The way he looked at it was that it was a mime character. And he also said of Carrie Fisher that she was a rebel, but also a beautiful princess. Lucas also confirmed what we've known for a long time, that Chewie came from his own dog, Indiana, who also inspired the name for Indiana Jones, as the dog would sit within the front passenger seat alongside him. And it was that image of, you know, this large animal sitting next to him as he's driving down the road, wind blowing in their faces, that really inspired Chewbacca. Now, Billy Dee Williams said that he was already a Lucas fan when the chance came up to be in Empire Strikes Back. He was a fan of THX-1138. At that particular time, there's all these wonderful young filmmakers changing the face of cinema. George was certainly at the helm of that period. Joining the saga then was a no-brainer. When I had the opportunity to work with George Lucas, I thought this was like going straight to heaven. It was a wonderful, extraordinary experience that I'm very happy to have had. Now, he did say that he had certain goals for Lando. He wanted him to be unique and new. He did not want to do a stereotypical cliche kind of character, and he wanted to do something special with it, something larger than life. Well, I think we can all agree he was an old softy. Now, Lucas did say that when it came to the original heroes, Han, Luke, and Leia, he wanted to have actors who seemed to have the bond of old friends. He looked at potential Luke Skywalkers for a year, and then finally whittled down the list to the three favorites of Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, and Carrie Fisher. But the main reason for casting Mark Hamill was that he was shorter than Lucas. Now, with this, Mark Hamill took the stage. He was followed just a short time after by Harrison Ford, another surprise. I don't believe he's ever been to a Star Wars celebration. And he said that, you know, as a young actor, working as a carpenter to meet ends meet, was what he was doing before he was cast in Star Wars. Of course, he had had a short bit part in American Graffiti, but not much else other than that. For him, Star Wars resonated because of the story. You can have the most brilliant cast in the world, but they have to have a story to tell. It was a brilliant invention of a mythology that has sustained interest for 40 years, and that's made up whole cloth by George. And an actor without a story to tell might as well go home. Now, the panel closed with a very moving tribute to Carrie Fisher. George said that she could hold her own against anything. She wore a dress through the whole thing, but she was the toughest one of the group. Kathleen Kennedy said that not only will Carrie be remembered forever by those luckiest to know her, but she'll be remembered forever by those not yet old enough to say, "May the Force be with you." Carrie Fisher's daughter, Billie Lord, was the last to speak, and she came out wearing a white dress similar to something that Leia might wear. Nothing about her was a performance, she said. She loved you, and she loved these movies, and she loved Leia. And that was then followed by a video tribute, which had behind-the-scenes footage, interviews of her as well as her friends, and you know, it was a very moving tribute. Now, following this video, Apparently there was a curtain on stage there at the panel. This curtain opened up to reveal John Williams standing before the Orlando Philharmonic Orchestra. He then conducted them in the princess's theme and closed out the panel with several of our favorite Star Wars pieces. Again, this was a very wonderful look back at the history of Star Wars. It was followed the next day with a look at the future of Star Wars with The Last Jedi. And again, a very wonderful celebration. A lot of news, a lot of memories, and a lot of reflection. You know, I wish it's something that I could have gone to and attended, but I'll tell you, this was a very special experience, and I'm glad that they were able to share it with us with live broadcasts on YouTube. Now, certainly for a much more in-depth look at everything that happened at Star Wars Celebration, we'd invite you to visit our friends, Techno Retro Dads, as well as Skywalking Through Neverland. I'm sure that their upcoming shows in the next few weeks are going to go into greater detail as to what happened at these panels and everything that happened at Celebration. You know, these videos are available up on YouTube if you'd like to see them, as well as a few of the other panels. I know that the Star Wars show had a constant live feed throughout every day in which they got to highlight and take a look at different pieces of merchandise and memorabilia that were coming out, chatting with the stars of the series and fans. You know, there was a lot going on with this event, and you know, some really incredible moments, some fantastic new toys and trinkets and memorabilia. And you know, it is Star Wars. It binds us, it surrounds us, and it's just a wonderful and fantastic thing that a lot of us share and enjoy in common.
Hi there, Neverlanders. It's me, your Spider Pan, and I know I sound awful. I sounded a lot worse before. My voice has only just come back. And I wanted to share with you some audio that I've gotten from the Inside the Magic YouTube channel of a panel about the upcoming Star Wars land, and I wanted to be able to share that with you. And so I'm going to share that audio, and I'm going to thank you over there at Inside the Magic for y'all posting this to YouTube, and enjoy.
To Disney and beyond.
Give a round of applause to Walt Disney Imagineering and to Lucasfilm members. It's Wendy, Doug, Scott, Pablo, Asa, and Chris. Come on out. Let's get started. Good game. Shh, 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 shh. All right, so let's start with just quick introductions of everyone here. Why don't we just go all the way down the row?
Hi, I'm Wendy. I'm with Imagineering. I'm focused on live performance.
Hi, I'm Doug Chang. I'm head of the Lucasfilm Art Department.
Hi, I'm Scott Trowbridge, and I lead our Imagineering's creative efforts for all of our Star Wars work around the world.
I'm Pablo Hidalgo, I'm part of the Lucasfilm Story Group.
Hi, I'm Asa Kalama, I'm an executive creative director working on the Star Wars project.
And I'm Chris Cady, I'm also an executive creative director working on the Star Wars project, and I too worship Doug Chang and Pablo Hidalgo. So I just want to get started right away with this expansion from kind of a high level. I just told the story about how you invited me to Imagineering in Glendale last week. I guess coming into it, seeing the concept art, I was almost expecting this like hodgepodge of, I mean, in my own head, because I'm just not as creative as you guys. I'll go over to Hoth and get a popsicle, and then I'm gonna go over to Kashyyyk and get some Wookiee cookies, and then I'm gonna go over to Tatooine, and maybe, you know, it's gonna be hot, you know, like it is in Orlando and Anaheim, but that's not what it is at all.
That is
so wrong.
You know, it would be easy to kind of think, you know, let's revisit some of our favorite places, but here's the thing. If we were to go to those places, Hoth, Tatooine, some of those things, we know the stories that happen there, right? We know whose stories they are. And we know that we're not in them. That's not what we wanted to do. We wanted to build, with these guys, with all of us, build new Star Wars stories, new Star Wars destinations, but this time you can be in that story, right? We want you to discover your own Star Wars story, not just remember somebody else's Star Wars story. So that required us going to a new place, a place with lots of stories yet to discover, and new characters, and new adventures, and all kinds of new awesomeness.
So you've developed a new place in Star Wars. You've developed a new, planet, a new...
It's a new planet, it's a new place, it's this remote frontier outpost somewhere on the edge of wild space. Place for us to discover new stories.
So it's a new outpost, we haven't heard of it yet, but you've been working on this, Pablo, as well, you've been going back and forth?
Yeah, basically, I love the way all these folks work. I've often said the appeal to Star Wars for me personally is, you know, it's obviously a great showcase for themes and characters, but for me it's a destination. Star Wars is a place that I visit, and with every new Star Wars story, it's like coming back home, but finding a new corner of that home that you've never explored before. So when it came to developing this location, the whole story team has been working to not only figure out where this place is on the galactic map, but what its history has been throughout galactic history.
I just have to say that every single time I do a panel where you have Lucasfilm with a company like Imagineering, I am so impressed and overwhelmed at the collaborative nature of this. And this is something that you guys have been talking about on a daily, weekly basis now for years. Is that right?
That's right. We have I think it's a great team, really. I mean, you know, we don't really even so much think of it as a partnership as a single team, right? You know, we share designs between the work that's happening here and what's happening, what Doug's doing in the films and the stories all. You know, one of the things that the Lucasfilm Story Group is so great at is integrating these stories together into a kind of a single Star Wars universe. And, you know, that this place has such a rich history. I'll tell you, I feel like I've already been here. I mean, we've been working on this long enough that I feel like I've already been here and I've met the characters and I know these people, and I can't wait for you guys to meet these people and to be able to discover.
He already does all the sound effects for all the characters from time to time.
And the voices.
Yeah.
So this place is very real for you and the entire team working on this. I understand you brought a video as well. What? Hello?
Yeah, this is something we wanted to share with the world, but, you know, I mean, we really want to, even though it is a little early for us, we wanted to share stuff with you guys first, because we are fans, we love the fans. So we wanted you guys to see this first.
Well, that is a lot of information to digest. I want to go back to the top, because you mentioned it as an outpost. Clearly, we know... from a high level, this is a new location in Star Wars.
No, it's new to you.
It's always been there.
It's just you haven't discovered it yet.
But we're all on a hyperspace journey, and it'll take until 2019 to get there.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if some of the characters that we really know and love already are familiar with this place.
Right.
The fact that it may be newly discovered to us doesn't mean it's newly discovered to everybody, right?
Yeah, and it's been there... not since 2019. It's been there for thousands and thousands of years. And you're going to discover that. You're going to be able to get a sense of the history of the place when you go there.
Yeah, look, so this used to be a vibrant trading port back in the old sub-lightspeed days. But now, with the advent of hyperspace, it's kind of, you know, its prominence has kind of fallen and faded a little bit, right? Which has made it a great spot for those who didn't want to be on that kind of mainstream path, right? So the smugglers, the bounty hunters, the rogue adventurers looking to crew up, the people who don't want to be found, right? This is a great, basically all the interesting people. Basically all the interesting people are here, and that's where we're going to find an opportunity to engage with them and discover them and kind of start to live our Star Wars story.
And this is in the Outer Rim? It's beyond the Outer Rim? Pablo?
It's a bit off the beaten path. I'm not going to tell you where on the map it is, but I will tell you that it is on the map. For those Star Wars cartographers who always obsess over where it is, know that we obsess over it too, and know that putting a dot on the map brings a lot of history to it, and we've examined what the ramifications of its location are.
Wow! It has ramifications!
I want to go. All right, so you mentioned really interesting characters. Now, What kind of characters are we going to meet there? Creatures, droids, what kind of characters?
Well, I mean, Scott was mentioning we've got our own underworld going on. You know, it's going to be connected to things that you've known and loved, characters you've known and loved, but also some new ones that we can't wait to introduce to you. You know, of course, we're going to have a presence of the Resistance and the First Order, because that's Star Wars, right? But then you're also going to have people who just live here, who populate this village, who will engage with you, who will be able to interact with you, and you'll be able to start going on some adventures with them, too. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow. And of course, something you said actually last week was that the devil is in the details when it comes to Imagineering. This is something that is just a motto for Disney, and certainly we all notice when we go to the theme parks. What's it like sort of diving into the details of a place that you can actually walk around in and experience? Chris, you know, when you're designing this, like, how does the devil in details work in a Star Wars location?
Yeah, of course, the first thing we did was call up Doug and the team, and we're like, hey, can we come up and pay a visit and just start having some conversations about what we want this place to look like, and, you know, what do you want to feel like when we walk into the land? What do you want to smell? What do you want to touch? And I think that's really the big difference between film and what we're crafting. You know, for 30-some-odd years now, we've seen it sort of in this two-dimensional form. And now we're going to let you actually go and explore these streets and these markets and you know, buy strange meat concoctions and rolled up in weird, you know, vessels that you can walk around and eat. And, of course, you have to have a glass of blue milk. And, sorry. Wait, now, is that a pod racer engine? What was that? That might have been a pod racer engine that we rigged up, and, you know, maybe that's cooking the meat in this market. And so, you know, I think, like Doug was saying, that we're really trying to, we're really trying to make sure that there's something in this land for everyone, that no matter, you know, if you know, where you come into the story or into this saga, that there's something there that will resonate with you, that this place feels like home, but yet at the same time it's new and it's fresh, and you just never know. Like, I mean, little details, like you might hear things scurrying through the sewer systems, and so when you go to the restrooms, you know, be careful what you drink out of, because the water fountains might have a familiar face or an eyeball. You know, it might be familiar. So we're having a lot of fun with those details and just those little things that us as Star Wars fans, and by the way, I'll tell you, this group right here are some of the world's biggest Star Wars fans. We're making sure that those details are in there, that you're going to be excited, and I can't wait to share it with everyone.
Now, Doug Channing, you have designed some Star Wars in your day. I understand. And what is your favorite creative challenge in approaching this new outpost? I mean, is it the grid? Is it kind of the outward, you know, out beyond? What is it? The unknown region? How did you approach this?
Thank you. It's actually really interesting, and actually working with Chris and Asa and John Lorena, it's been really fun because I approach this as just another film. And we design it like that because it has to be as expansive as that. One of the great things about working on a film is that you're creating these really rich, immersive worlds. But unfortunately, you only experience it from one point of view. With the park, what I really like about this is that we're actually going to be able to live it. Because, I mean, the funny thing is we build these enormous sets. I mean, they're pretty big, but in reality, they're pretty small. And when you go in there, you can completely get immersed in there, and you feel like, oh, wouldn't it be great if you could share this with more people? But then, very quickly, you lose that illusion because you turn around and you see movie lights, and you see what's supporting the wall. You touch the rock, and you realize, oh, it's just painted carved foam. Or you smell the fresh paint. The great thing about this is going to be like a 14-plus acre movie set that's real. The rocks are real. Every detail is real. And so the approach was that let's do some real world building where we actually can have the tools and abilities with, you know, the talented team here to really make it very authentic. And for me as a fan, I mean, I've always wanted to live in the Star Wars universe. I mean, just go and walk around it. And I think we're going to have that opportunity. And it's like I couldn't think of a better team to collaborate with.
So, this idea of going to Star Wars and being in Star Wars and using the word real is just something that I'm so in love with right now. What were some of the challenges, or are the challenges that you're discovering in making Star Wars real? Like you said, it's not a set. You know, you don't turn around and see plywood. You I mean, you turn around and see more Star Wars. Anything surprise you? Any unique challenges in bringing that to life that you've discovered already?
No, there's always challenges. Anytime you're trying to craft, especially with this franchise and with the love for this franchise, it's always a challenge to, I think, craft a place that we haven't seen yet, that we haven't visited, right? But we spent a lot of time up at Lucasfilm. We pulled all of Ralph McQuarrie's original artwork out and just dug through all those amazing images that really, I thought, gave it, as Doug and I talked, really, we felt like that was the DNA, right, that we wanted to sort of base this land off of. That it felt like Ralph might have had a hand in crafting what this place looked like visually. And so that wasn't a challenge. It was an honor, right? It was so amazing to get to spend that time together and really lay the foundation for what this planet is going to look and feel like. And so that's really been, we always joke that if it didn't look like Ralph, agreed to it or had a hand in it, then we throw it out, right, that design. So I think you'll see that, not just Ralph McQuarrie's work as an inspiration, but, we also traveled to Istanbul, we traveled to Morocco, we traveled to a lot of exotic places throughout the world to really kind of give it that sense of, like, this exotic, amazing, sort of eclectic nature. And so these markets are just going to be packed with incredible details and incredible, incredible things to visually take in. And so we're excited to share that. And I think, like I said, it's been an honor to work with Doug and the Lucasfilm team because they really have helped sort of guide, this direction and bring this to life.
One of the fascinating details that you brought up when I was there is about lighting. Obviously, Orlando is sunny, Anaheim is sunny. How does that play into how you're building a new outpost like this?
No, I was just going to say, one of the things that we also wanted to do was, because it is a real place that you're going to be walking around in, we wanted to make it a place that you would feel comfortable walking around in. I'm not sure Hoth would feel that way. I'm not sure Tatooine would really feel
it
that way.
It can when you're in Florida in August.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So building and working with Doug and the team to create a place that was new and felt new and had its own unique style and its own unique geology and geography and history, I think was really... And then one that we felt would work in the physical environment, in Florida or in California, a place that would feel natural with that kind of weather and rain and, and have to work with all of that stuff. So it's that may be one of the challenges is that we're trying to impose a certain level of reality into a world that has never felt, has never had to have that imposed on it before.
Yeah, and the interesting challenge is that, when we're designing movie sets, it's always for a very specific point in time. We're either building it for end of day or daylight. And so you really don't have to worry about the overall time frame. For something like this, it's actually very challenging because you really have to make sure that everything looks good throughout the course of the day because the guests are going to enjoy it for the full day. And then you have to put on top of that, layer on top of it, weather and how that impacts it. And so it adds another level of complexity, but I think it also brings up the level of the bar in terms of raising our aspirational challenge to create something that's very authentic. And what I love about that world-building aspect is that when we meet the challenges, you're really going to feel like you're really there. I mean, the illusion is going to be completely immersive and just amazing. I mean, I can't wait. Because, I mean, even one of the simplest things, like smelling things. I mean, what Chris said, that is so important. It's like sound in a movie. When you go into a space, when you smell it, when you feel the humidity, you're going to feel like you're really there.
What does Star Wars smell like? This is a
cool question. You're going to find out. There's some things we're not ready to talk about yet. There's some things. Look, again, this is all about discovering this for yourself. So we don't want to tell you that. We want you to discover that. Just thinking about this idea of, how do we make it real and the challenges for making it happen in the real world. It isn't just about what the place looks like, but it's also just the kinds of things we're used to seeing in those films. The action and I know Wendy spends a lot of time thinking about how do we actually get characters, and we're not quite ready to talk about the specific stories and specific characters yet, but how do we get these characters to do the things that we're used to seeing on screen, but now have it happen really with you in the world?
It's been so much fun to work on all of that because we're partnering with Rob Inch and the teams that are developing all of the action for the film. So we've been developing that for a while now. We've done some workshops in London. We're working with the best and the brightest. And we're so excited to bring that style to you, to let you be in the center of that action, let you have a piece of that, and to let you experience it right up close and personal. I think we have a little clip of a workshop that we did in London earlier this year, if we want to roll that.
Yeah, let's take a look. What do you say? Just a taste.
Just a little bit.
Now, I know you have to do all this stuff that, you know, we were talking about. Tom Fitzgerald was earlier talking about how we don't have the ability to edit in Star Tours, and we don't, all these amazing action sequences, we have to do it in real time, or we're going to do it in real time, right? With you in the middle of it.
Yeah, I mean, we're using rooftops, we're using ladders, it's all kinds of fun stuff that we'll be able to talk more about in more detail later, but man, you're going to feel like you're in the thick of it. You're not going to sit in a chair and watch it happening. You're going to be standing right in front of it. It's very fun.
You're in the Star Wars. You're in Star Wars.
You're in the Star Wars.
You're in the Star Wars. So we've talked about creatures. We've talked about characters. Droids. Are there droids?
There will, in fact, be droids.
Droids are such an important part of the Star Wars universe. They add so much heart and humor, and they're so great for fans of all ages. And our little corner of the galaxy is no different. We're going to see some droids that we know and love from screen, as well as get the opportunity to meet some brand new droids we've never seen before, each with their own unique sort of personality and character. And they're going to be really sort of bustling around this village and Sook area, activating the entire world and bringing it to life in a really fun and exciting way.
And I will say we treat droids as characters because they are, right? They're definitely other beings that populate this place, creating this whole living environment that you're going to be able to wander through. It's going to be so fun.
Droids are people too.
Droids are totally people too.
So we've talked about you know, who you're going to meet, what you're going to see. Also, what are we going to do?
Sure. So Scott mentioned at the top, right? We're going to be visiting something about a crossroads in the galaxy, and this is a place where all of us are greeted very much as guests, as visitors. But for those who are looking to delve a little bit deeper, lots of opportunities certainly will abound. There are going to be a ton of opportunities to help out and support the Resistance. Lots of smugglers and bounty hunters who are looking for a little bit of help and might be willing to offer you up a side job. And for those of you who are interested in supporting the First Order, that will absolutely be an opportunity as well.
I'm a little scared now.
But the number one thing that our fans tell us they want to do when they're sort of part of the universe of Star Wars is get the opportunity to ride inside the Millennium Falcon. And I'm a little biased because that's one of the attractions that I'm working on, but it's gonna be pretty sweet. We're not just gonna let you ride the Millennium Falcon. We're truly gonna let you control the Millennium Falcon. So you and your flight crew are gonna be responsible for piloting one of the most iconic ships in the entire galaxy.
That's just a hunk of garbage.
Wait. Who's gonna fly it, kid?
Now you. So. Everyone who goes gets to go on the Millennium Falcon and drive the Millennium Falcon.
The experience will allow you and your flight crew to pilot the ship on an amazing adventure. This is something a little bit different for everyone who rides the attraction. It's going to be truly amazing.
But who's my co-pilot?
Your mother, your uncle, your sister, your second cousin twice removed.
Do they have to speak Shiriwook? I mean, do they have to know how to talk?
They should start practicing their Wookiee right here. It actually enhances the experience.
Interesting. And if I want to crash and bump and move and do all that, I can.
Again, it's entirely up to you and your flight crew. Chances are you're going to make it to your destination on the other end. The ship just may be a little more damaged than when you began. So again, it's really up to you. You can bring her in without a scratch on her, or if you want to, you know, if you're a practitioner of bumper bowling and you want to try to maneuver off a couple of those rock faces, more power to you.
But hang on, if you do that though, this is a world,
in which choices matter. And so if you do that, there are consequences.
There are consequences to your actions in this world. So, you know, if you bring a ship back pretty heavily damaged, chances are, you know, somebody's not going to be too happy about that.
Yeah, Wendy has plans for people like that.
And so...
That was my Chewie.
And so again, for those who are, again, really interested in delving a little bit deeper, we're excited for opportunities where, you know, an experience might begin on board the Millennium Falcon and follow you right out the door of the attraction and into, you know, the local watering hole, right? So it really is up to you to determine, you know, how you want your fate to play out in this world.
You can essentially build a reputation in the Star Wars universe.
You're blowing my mind right now.
This stuff follows you around. I mean, it's truly immersive, not just the attractions, but the entire, I mean, well, it's Star Wars, isn't it?
Yeah.
There
could be someone looking for you eventually, yeah.
Oh. Me? I didn't do anything.
Yes.
That's great. Well, tell everyone, in case you don't know, when can we expect this expansion? When is this coming to our lives? When do we arrive?
Yeah, I think I like the way you put it. It's like, when do we arrive? Because again, as Pablo said, it's been there for thousands of years. And I think, we've already been living there for a while. In fact, that's why I'm still jet lagged. The trip is long. So we've actually already announced that we're going to invite you all to discover these destinations in 2019. So it feels like it's a little bit away. We've had some help. We've had some help building these things out. Turns out that's actually not making it go faster. So we chose poorly. BB-8's a great site supervisor there, though. But we do have teams all over the world now that are helping us do the things that we need to do so that we can invite you to this place, and so you can have the kinds of experiences that all these guys have talked about. Both you mentioned early on that there's a big construction site here. That is, and there's one in Anaheim too. In fact, just last weekend we shot a little bit of footage to kind of show the most recent site progress. We shot this in Anaheim, but Orlando looks the same. But just to give you a little bit of sense of like how big and massive this project is, and a little bit about where we're at in the timeline.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So as I said, this is Anaheim. And all of this, everything you see, is our new destination. It's usually busier than this. This is early Sunday morning, last Sunday actually. If you look very carefully inside this building, you can actually see the outlines that might look familiar. Full size. I won't talk about what that giant pit is for. It's not for swimming. So as you can see from this, you know, on a Sunday morning, not so busy.
Give him a round of applause. Give him a round of applause. That's the thing that I my jaw just hit the floor, because it's like, wait, that's actually, it's going to, I mean, full size, you said. Like, full those size. Are there. They're right there.
They are right there.
I mean, those are them.
Those are some of them.
I'm going to need a nap.
Because we didn't talk about this. You know, also talked about this opportunity to get behind the controls of a Millennium Falcon and pilot it on this, you know, this journey that's truly up to you and your flight crew about how it goes. As I also mentioned, we're not really talking too specifically about stories and characters and things yet, but one of the things we have mentioned, and this is kind of evident, there is a presence of the First Order in this experience, right? We are going to find ourselves in the middle of this opportunity you know, this epic Star Wars experience that puts us right in the middle of an epic battle between the First Order and the Resistance. And, you know, it'll be up to us to choose our fate and to participate in this in some way. And it is, I'll tell you this, it is the most epic, it is the most epic attraction we've ever undertaken.
Walking into an RPG, it's just unbelievable. That's just fantastic. Now, I know we're short on time, but I just want to offer you a chance. Any closing thoughts from your different disciplines? Anything you want to say to the fans?
Well, we've often said that, you know, we offer opportunities for you to enter in the Star Wars universe, and we've given you different versions of that, whether it's losing yourself in a movie, in a book, in a video game, in a VR experience. This is unlike anything we've ever done before, and it's so amazing. And just speaking personally, you know, I've had amazing opportunity to watch craftspeople who are the best in their field, and, you know, theme park development is something that I never in a million years dreamed I'd get a front row seat at. And working with this team, it's amazing to see the things that they do and get to peer behind that particular curtain. So it's been a great rush for me speaking as a Star Wars fan, and I can't wait to see it finished.
Yeah. For me, as a fan growing up with this, kind of living in the Star Wars, you know, galaxy or whatever for about, you know, almost 25 years now, it's so amazing because the level of detail and fidelity that the team is working on is so over the top. I've never seen anything like this. Because we're really creating a very authentic real world, something that you can actually feel like it's reality. It's not a movie set, it's not fake, it's real. Everything's gonna have that quality to it, that, you know, tactile quality. And I'm just, I don't know, I'm giddy thinking about it because I wanna be there now. And for me, it's that fulfillment of that 15-year-old child's dream when I first saw Star Wars. You know, I finally get to go there.
You'll know all the surprises already, though. You know, can I tell a story about you?
Please tell
me. So last week, we invited David to come over and kind of just see a little bit, so he had a little bit of a context for what we were talking about. And one of the things that I remember you kind of reacted to is, you know, one of the things that we're trying to do is, how do we make Star Wars real? How do we take it off that screen and make it real for all of us, right? And one other thing, we knew Star Wars, we have to have lightsabers, right? So we actually showed David a little prototype of how we will actually take these great, the stuff looks great on screen, but we have to make it look great right in front of you.
No, Scott, it's real.
It is real.
I've seen a lightsaber now in my life, and you showed it to me. I know it's too early, but I've seen some things. And it's real, and it's coming in 2019.
Yeah, I mean, it is a little early. We, you know, we really can't wait to share all this with you and invite you to come and discover it. But the thing we wanted to do today was here at Celebration was really take the opportunity to just talk to the fans and to just give the fans a little bit of update on progress, because we are the fans. We're doing this for the fans. We want you guys to be along on this journey with us. Yes, we are such uber nerd fans, in fact. This was in
London. How come we're the only two in costume?
Yeah, that's... I this is either
like
our
leader.
Team or the village people. I can't see exactly what that is.
Scott actually wore that orange jumpsuit on the tube, and no one would sit next to him, which was quite fun to watch.
That's true. But we wanted to share with you guys this, you know, just let you know that we're doing this for you. We are looking through the lens of fandom at the experiences we're building, because it's so important to us, and we know it's so important to us. We wanted to make sure we took the opportunity, even at this early stage, to just share stuff with you so that you can feel like you're coming along on the journey with us.
And I just wanted to reiterate something that Scott had said earlier, this notion that it really isn't like we're, you know, two separate teams working alongside one another. We are truly integrated. This isn't an interpretation of Star Wars. This is Star Wars. The people working on it are the same hands that are making the film, the same amazing story group. And it is an amazing honor to get to work alongside all these amazingly talented people every single day to make something that is truly canonical.
Amen. I know, and this really is truly unprecedented to share something so much that you've shared today. So thank you so much, because it's still so early. But when do we get to hear more? D23 is in a few months.
D23 is in July, and certainly we'll be farther along in development, so I would suspect we'll have more that we're able to share at that time. And also, we'll be sharing stuff on the Disney Parks blog as we get more information, and we want to share both progress and a little bit of the behind the scenes, so you can kind of get a taste of what it's like to make the Star Wars, but more importantly, to start introducing you to the stories that you're going to be able to take part in and meet the characters that you're going to be able to become friends with and allies with and combatants of and sidekicks of, and some of these great characters that these guys have all been developing.
So we can go to Disney Parks blog and just kind of stay engaged with all that stuff.
We're going to start kicking this off really soon. So, I mean, there's already been some stuff on that blog, but expect to see more in the future.
Refresh. Please join me in thanking our panelists from Lucasfilm. Thank you so much for giving us this interview. Thank you so much. Thank you to all of you. Have a great day.
Well, I do want to thank Jeremy for the opportunity to host the podcast this week. And again, we certainly extend our best wishes and to him for a speedy recovery. Thank you for joining us, and I hope that you have a wonderful week.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/NeverlandPodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Yeah!
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.